And it's a story you couldn't make up, although the writers of the hit TV show Miami Vice certainly tried. We're talking about the story of Willie Falcone, one of Miami's most notorious 80s-era cocaine smugglers. In 1996, he bought off a jury foreman to avoid prosecution and drug dealing, but he was finally sentenced on money laundering and had just finished his nearly 20-year prison sentence last June when immigration officials grabbed him for deportation back to his native Cuba because, while a legal resident, he's not a citizen and he has a felony charge. But his lawyers are now saying, hold on, what about the fact that he secretly donated some of his drug money to fund CIA training of anti-Castro paramilitary groups in the Everglades in the 90s? Shouldn't that count for something? And they say because of that, he'll be killed if he's sent back. Robin Farzad hosts the podcast Full Disclosure, but today he's here as author of Hotel Scarface, Where Cocaine Cowboys Partied and Plotted to Control Miami. It's in part the story of Willie Falcone. Hi, Robin.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. Boy, what a story. So glad you drew our attention to this. I half expect Don Johnson to walk in, you know, every page that I'm reading. But before we get to what's going on now, take us back. What was the scene like that Willie Falcone was the center of?
These guys, the Willie Falcone, Sal Magluta gang in the late 70s and most of the 80s, they were the chief South Florida conduit for the Medellin and Cali cartels. They're pretty much the biggest cocaine dealers in Florida. And at a time when Miami was becoming really violent, the Cubans were fighting with the Colombians, Miami became the murder capital of America in 1981. These guys were kind of the antidote to that, that it's said that a fate worse than death in this town was being blacklisted by them. They'd rather be loved than feared. There was just an ongoing party with them. They bought off, women, hotels, staff, gold, party boats, champagne, you name it. And that lasted for the bulk of the 80s. The feds were on the trail and only caught up with them in the 1990s.
Well, he did have some legitimate businesses as well.
Well, I mean, the speedboating business was effectively a front for cocaine running. Cocaine was their cash cow. This was a group of friends from Miami Senior High, dropouts who just loved the good life. They were children of kind of the old guard anti-Castro Cubans who came here in the 1950s and 1960s. And, you know, while all of exile, Miami was kind of biding its time until the detested bearded one would be toppled, they figured why not have a good time at doing it.
Yeah, and boy, good time they had. I mean, they partied with superstars. There's pictures of them everywhere. We'll post them at herenow.org. But, you know, you said that they'd rather be loved. You were a kid growing up in Miami then. You know, it's got all this flash to it, this story, as we saw in Miami Vice. But what did this do to the city?
Cocaine, let's say at the turn of the decade when the 70s became the 80s, just inundated the system with so much hot cash that even in a really bad economy, you had people like the Falcone gang buying speedboats, buying three condos at a time, sight unseen, buying horses. So much cash was sluicing to the system that it corrupted the judicial system. It corrupted the police in Miami, and there were huge scandals in the 1980s. It took a good decade for that to kind of dilute and rinse out of the system and the Justice Department to catch up with them.
Well, and when they did, in 1991, Falcone and his high school buddy, Sal Magluta, indicted with about a dozen others on charges of conspiring to import and distribute 75 tons of cocaine worth $2 billion. I mean, this is the size of this. They finally went to trial in the 90s. They bought off the jury foreman?
Oh, yeah. You know, one guy on the jury was recognizable. They bought him off. Another juror fessed up to the prosecutor that he felt something was wrong and that he was being pressured by this jury foreman. And there was a huge retrial. And the system just went after them so many times until it finally nailed them both down in the early 2000s. Magluta took a 205-year sentence. He's in a super, super maximum facility in Colorado, where Willie Falcone, he swallowed 20 years for money laundering.
Right. We just want to ask, though, you know, this was a murderous operation. Is there blood on their hands?
They were never convicted of murder. What happened with the witness executions in the mid-90s when the government – in the early and mid-90s when the government first came after them, the Colombian drug lords back in Colombia, they were fearing extradition. So if you're Medellin, if you're Cali, you're literally sending hitmen across the border to – take out witnesses against, you know, the Miami affiliates in this case, so it doesn't rot up the system and have George Bush Sr. extraditing you to Miami, which was kind of your nightmare scenario. Yeah. So it became violent. I mean, the irony of it is what these guys tried to avoid happened in the mid-90s. A lot of their friends and brothers were killed. The witnesses were silenced, were intimidated. By and large, though, you talk to the community and they don't peg that onto Falcone. Falcone is looked at as the more kind of gentlemanly, avuncular jock. He was the playboy of the two, and it's reflected in his sentence. He took a 20-year sentence, where his counterpart took 205 years. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people right now in Miami are ambivalent about this. They had a kind of a Robin Hood-type reputation that they assigned to this guy.
Yeah. Well, that brings us back to today, and Falcone's lawyers saying, and again, you can't make this up, that he used a lot of his drug money to fund CIA-backed training courses in the Everglades of expat anti-Castro militants. They were helping to train to take out Castro. Now, we remember when the CIA backed the Contra militants in Nicaragua, ignored the fact that they were selling drugs in the U.S. The U.S. also funneled money from sales of arms to Iran to the Contras because the Contras were fighting the Soviet-backed Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And when that fight ended, the CIA turned on the Contras. Is that what's happening to Willie Falcone right now?
The joke in Miami was always in the 1980s. I remember if someone was busted for cocaine dealing, like if you knew somebody in school, they'd say, oh, no, but my dad was working for the CIA the whole time. That was like a convenient front. The problem is that this is now 30 years old. You had the Kerry, you know, a young senator named John Kerry was looking into these allegations. And then these guys paid off. It was very in vogue for any Cuban smuggler to kind of, you know, blend himself in the mode of freedom fighting by saying, I'm paying anti-Castro activists. The two movements were always inextricably linked. The irony is now that he's facing deportation, he really wants to cover himself in that and say, I was a patriot throughout. I was an American freedom fighter. I mean, how can you, when, you know, we were fighting the Cold War, when he was our enemy 90 miles away from Key West, betray me like that? So they're really trying to bring back evidence of the fact that he had affiliations with the CIA. But there's really no one left in the CIA to come and fess up to that.
Well, but the, you know, this, the sentimental angle may be one thing, but isn't there a law that you can't deport someone to a place where they might be killed?
That is right. This is a 1984 law. The United Nations came out that there's a treaty that forbids nations to transport people to any nation when there's legitimate reason to believe they're going to be tortured or killed. And these guys are saying not only did they finance a potential Fidel Castro assassination operation in the 1990s, but the newspaper there in Cuba right now, the state newspaper Granma, is associating Willie Falcone and Sal Magluta with the exile terrorists, which means at the very least they're not going to be welcome. And, you know, these guys came here in the 1960s. Even though they never had citizenship, they think of themselves as Americans, and they never thought that they'd be going back to a Cuba still run by the Castros, however nominally right now.
Yeah. So we wait to see what happens there. But Robin Farzad, did I just hear you say that growing up in Miami when some kids got busted for, like, selling cocaine—
kids' parents were always getting busted, you know? We were always – look, with the rest of the country, I was watching Miami Vice Friday nights and what was going on in my downtown. Like, you know, you're fishing. You're always being circumspect. Maybe a kilo is going to float up and you're going to call the Channel 7 news truck. I mean, this was just the reality that we lived in. And it was amplified and colorized deeply by the likes of Miami Vice and Scarface.
Yeah. Well, this is – it's really something. And are you saying that if Willie Falcone – if the judge sides with the defense or the request of the defense and says, no, we can't send him back, are you saying that this community would embrace Willie Falcone?
It's really bizarre. I mean, I have pictures of the 1980s before the feds caught up to this guy of Willie Falcone partying at clubs alongside, you know, Jeb Bush and his wife. Jeb Bush was just a businessman in Miami back then. He had plied so many people, so many refugees who came here in the 1980s. People who were coming on the Mariel boat lift were told, like, if you can get it there and do some sort of odd job for Willie and Sal or one of their guys, you are in. I mean, that's your ticket. It's like kind of getting, you know, Don Corleone's name when you arrived at the Statue of Liberty or something. So he was very good. I mean, he would read the morning papers and see people whose familiar names he could post bail for. He knew that, you know, this mode of love and paying people could, over the long run, be more effective than just being feared like a Pablo Escobar.
Robin Farzad, again, you know him as the host of the podcast Full Disclosure, but he's also author of Hotel Scarface, about drug kingpin Willie Falcone, waiting to see if he's going to be deported from the U.S. back to Cuba. What a story, Robin. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
And Willie Falcone is reportedly one of a backlog of 28,000 Cubans convicted in the U.S. of felonies. Robin says the Sessions Justice Department may push to send many, including Falcone, back now that there are relations. So we will follow this story here and now.